The Woman with the Book, A Friend's Account of Gladys Allward's Life by M. A. Minders. Chapter 1. Would you quit your arguing? Mr. Allward cried as he put down his paper. At once, his daughters Violet and Gladys became quiet and stood together meekly in the living room. They had not been arguing, only joking. When their father read the newspaper, however, it had to be quiet. They knew that very well. "I'd rather see you work at better grades in school," he scolded Gladys. "You can joke with your sister all you want, but your schoolwork leaves much to be desired. Your teacher told me, 'I don't know what will become of Gladys. All she does is talk and laugh. She hardly studies.'" Her father's reproach suddenly made Gladys very sad. Was she really such an inferior child? She honestly did her best in school and tried to understand those difficult math lessons. When the teacher told a story, she always listened attentively. "Am I never allowed to joke?" she wondered. Gladys left the room pensively and went upstairs. In her small bedroom, she looked in the mirror and studied her own image. She frowned at her straight black hair braided into stiff braids. "Other girls have much nicer hair than I do," she grumbled. "Other girls are bigger, too. It seems like I'm not growing at all. I am staying so small. When Violet gets a new dress, it looks so nice on her. Mother's friends say, 'Oh, doesn't she look lovely?' But when I get a new dress, it doesn't even look nice, because I am so small and not pretty like other girls. People never tell me that I look pretty," she mourned. "I am stupid and small, and Father is mad at me." Tears rolled down her cheeks. "Why are you crying?" asked her sister, who came to see what was keeping her. "Oh, Violet, why am I so small, and why do I have such ugly black hair?" Gladys sobbed. "I want to be just as pretty as you." "Come on, Gladys," her sister tried to comfort her. "You're the nicest girl in the class. You can talk to anybody, and you can tell stories better than any of the other girls. Come with me. We're going to ask Mother." In the kitchen, Mrs. Allward smiled when she heard how Violet defended her sister, insisting that she was the nicest girl in the whole school and the best storyteller, too. "No," Gladys protested. "Mother is the best storyteller, and when I am grown up, I want to be a good mother like she is." Taking her mother's hand, she pressed it lovingly against her cheek. At mealtime, Father was kind again and advised Gladys to eat well so she would grow faster. However, no matter how often Gladys looked in the mirror, during the following months she remained small, much smaller than other girls her age. She was hardly growing at all. Many years later, she would understand why she remained that size. "They could use a student for sales at the Penny Bazaar," Mrs. Allward said one day to Gladys, who was now just 14 years old. "It would be a good job for you, don't you think?" "At the Penny Bazaar?" Gladys exclaimed with excitement. "May I work there?" "Yes, you can earn some money. There is not much else you can find at your age." This store was always a place of great excitement to Gladys. Nothing cost more than a penny. In spite of this, there was a range of products, and all kinds of goods and presents could be bought very cheaply. In her enthusiasm, Gladys promised that she would buy presents for the whole family for sixpence. With delight, Gladys began her work at the bazaar. When she came home that night, her home buzzed with voices. Gladys had much to tell, and Mrs. Allward was eager to talk as well. At times, it was a bit much for Mr. Allward when he came home tired from a day of work. This was especially the case when Gladys was in one of her silly moods, with her hands and voice dramatically imitating the people she had met that day. At times, this aspect of Gladys's character served the family well. Tensions rose when Mrs. Allward thought that she had to buy a new hat again. Hats and jewels were a weak spot for her. In her mind, if there was no money for a new hat, then at least new feathers had to be put on an old hat. When Gladys's father deemed new hats unnecessary, and her mother responded that she really could not go to another lady's tea party wearing the same hat again, Gladys was the quick-witted one who diverted everyone's attention with her antics. Then Violet would laugh, and Mrs. Allward soon forgot about the new feathers for her hat. Mr. Allward looked fondly on Gladys, who, according to her instructors, was not that successful in school, but whose nature was very practical. She seemed to discern her own difficulties as well as those of others, bravely assess them and overcome them. What she could not attain due to lack of understanding, she made up for by her quick-wittedness and practical actions. In this way, since childhood, Gladys knew how to change difficult or stressful situations in the house into cheerful ones. Gladys found her work in the bazaar very fascinating, but she still retained her feelings of inferiority to others as she remained small and unattractive. Why am I so little, and why is my hair so straight and black? She often wondered sadly. Her father, who was a quiet and serious man, observed all the facets of her character. He knew her ups and downs. Mrs. Allward sometimes said, "She gets that from me." Crying and laughing quickly take their turns. Gladys took pride in her work at the Penny Bazaar and did it very meticulously. But after a few months, she began working elsewhere. She could now be a sales lady in a larger store. In those years of 1916 through 1918, right in the middle of the First World War, there was plenty of work for girls because so many men were in the front lines or in military services. Yet Gladys could not remain long at any place. She had a restlessness that drove her from one place of work to another. "She still can't find her place," Mr. Allward said as he shook his head. "I found another job. I'm sure I'll stay there for a long time," Gladys told him time and again. "I am interested to see how long it will be before you're back at our doorstep to say that you are going to look for other work again," he replied skeptically. Finally, through friends, Gladys found a job as a maid in London. Her mother packed her a suitcase with some small belongings, and with the dutiful warnings of the family, she left for the big city of London. Being only 17, Gladys was still young and wanted to lead a happy, carefree life. In London, she had plenty of opportunity for fun. From the big house where she served, she could easily access the heart of London with its sparkling lights and alluring music wafting across the streets from bars and restaurants. Such music, melancholy or upbeat, halted the passers-by and drew them inside. Gladys remembered her Aunt Betty speaking at times of the suction of the world. As a child, she did not understand this expression, but now she experienced what that suction was. In these restaurants and theaters, she met friends who were after the same happy life that she was. The First World War had passed. In those post-war days, it was difficult for girls and women to make a living. After the initial joy with which England received its soldiers back into the country, a depression dawned due to a lack of work opportunities. All office work, stores, and factories needed to be made available for the men who had returned home. Only the work of house cleaning or kitchen aid remained more readily available for women and girls. However, there were more girls looking for work than places willing to receive them. Too many workers made for long hours and low salaries. Whoever found a place of work tried his or her utmost to keep that place. If there was any disobedience or untidiness, the employer could easily dismiss a worker. People worked from early morning until late at night and tried to keep their one night per week, which they had off for fun relaxation. That evening, they left their labors for the sparkling heart of London. Tired from their day's work, they would sink in a comfortable seat in a theater which they had purchased for a few pennies. With uplifted heads and eager faces, they stared at the stage where the actors and actresses lived out exciting adventures. Gladys was among these people. She listened almost breathlessly to these shows of wealth, joy, and happiness, which alternated with disappointment, sadness, and fears, ultimately coming to a happy end. The decoration and props on the stage, backed by paintings of wealth, riches, and beautiful nature images, made a deep impression on her. She felt herself pulled away from her lowly living as maid in London and swept up by heights of unreachable living standards and fabulous wealth. For hours, she would stare at the stage until the lights went on again and she would have to leave. Then reality hit, and she realized she was only in a theater in London and needed to return to her work. She had to go back to the routine of everyday life. If on other nights Gladys did not have enough money to purchase a seat in the theater, she roamed through the streets of London instead and enjoyed the distinguished gentlemen and the women dressed in long satin dresses and ornamented with glittering necklaces, bracelets, and earrings. She watched them enter hotels and theaters from which came the most enthralling music. London also had its dark sides. Gladys was often filled with compassion when she saw the small children dressed in rags wandering through parks in the evenings, looking for a place of safety for the night. These children would often lie close together on porches of offices and other buildings covered with some newspapers. They had no home to call their own. Another dark side of the city of London were the women who were found waiting on the city street corners in the evening, their faces heavily made up. They tried to catch the attention of those who passed by to pull them along to their rooms of sin and immorality. Every night, they were successful. "The suction of sin and the world," Aunt Betty would say of this, "stay far away from that suction." She had given this warning to Gladys the day she had moved to this big city. Had Gladys listened? She seemed to have forgotten her upbringing and her church attendance. Church? No, Gladys told herself, this is one place I never want to go to again. As she and some friends were leaving the theater one evening, she sighed longingly. Oh, I would love to be an actress. Laughing, the girls replied, "Yes, Gladys, you could be an actress. You can imitate others so well. You would attract a room full of people." Gladys dreamt about being an actress that evening. She, Gladys Allward, a small girl who did not seem to grow, who looked so silly with her straight black braids, and who never heard a word of praise about her outward appearance because she was not pretty or attractive. She could attract rooms full of people in London. These people would look at her and listen to her.